This is the news, according to me. Show number 2 on Monday, December 21. I think this is episode 14 on the podcast. Getting right up there. Just cranking them out. All of my commentary on the news and the people who make the news, manufacture the news, try to propagandize you all the time. So today, thanks for, by the way, thanks for listening to the news according to me. I'm Kevin. Nice to have you on board. The show this morning was really long, so I'm going to try to make this as short as possible, which will probably only be a couple more hours. So sit back, pour yourself an extra cup of coffee. I have some things to say. Chai tea, one of my favorites. Okay, so I was talking this morning about the Turning Point USA event that's going on right now. There's some things that happen on there that are kind of screwy, but I understand they're, you know, young kids trying to find their way. So I'll cut them some slack. But they're doing a good job over there. So there's this one thing, you know, this one quote from Michael Knowles on over the weekend. One of the things that he said was this one millionaire who had gone bankrupt basically said that he was asked a question. They said, how did it happen? How did you go bankrupt? And his answer was, well, first it was gradually, and then suddenly. Now, I've had a business. I had a business that was had a lot of cash flow. It was had a lot of overhead, high amount of overhead. I had employees. I had this was back in the 90s. And it was making a lot of money. I mean, we had a lot of money coming in, a lot of money going out. In fact, the money was going out faster than it was coming in. It was a high liability business. It had it was a high amount of work intense effort going into it. It wasn't like today's businesses. A lot of businesses today are, you know, you put some online content up and it just basically runs itself. You can. If you got an online course or an online book or something like that, or online, those things, you can set them up to run on autopilot. And, you know, the big part of the business is creating the content, getting it ready to go, and then producing it and watching it just fly off the shelf. And there's, you know, it's digital download. You can do that kind of stuff nowadays with a lot of content, and people pay for it. And it's amazing. It's an amazing time we live in. That was not the case in the 90s. You couldn't do that. You were selling, you know, VHS cassettes if you had content that you'd create. And then you had to market that and ship it and do all those kinds of things and have quality control and all that stuff. And nowadays, it's, you know, once you've got something done, you put it online, people download it 24 hours a day. There's no shipping involved, no nothing, unless they want a hard copy of a book or that kind of thing. So it's a very different world in terms of information, that kind of thing. But long story short, maybe I'm making it even longer. So this is the way the story goes. I was bleeding out money, and you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're pushing money funds around. You got money coming in for one thing, so you kind of shuffle this money over into a different fund, so you have money to pay for your insurance that month, and then the next month you have to pay your taxes, so you got this to shuffle around for other things. That was money that was allotted to pay for maintenance and upkeep on the machines, and you had this and that going on. And it was a very intense market, and it was time consuming, very labor intensive kind of business. So you know, you start to run out of money, and you know where things are going, but you're kind of, as a sole proprietor, you're kind of running things, trying to just kind of keep your head afloat, trying to make money. You're never really sure where you are. This was in the day before, you know, we had a computer, but we had one computer. Nobody had laptops. Nobody had iPads, apps, all this kind of stuff. There were some applications out there for running spreadsheets and doing your books and stuff, but wow, it's nothing like it is now. I mean, nowadays, if you can't keep a pulse on your business now, then And I was so busy. I was working from, I'd get up at 7 o'clock in the, or I'd leave the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't come home until 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, wasn't digging ditches, but I was, it was busy. It was busy work and a lot of stress involved in the process of doing it. There was no time to keep an eye on what was going on. Now, I didn't go bankrupt, but I understand this principle of, okay, I'm losing money, but I'm hoping at some point I can turn this around, and you kind of keep going and you don't really realize where you're at the whole time, and you keep working. And then all of a sudden you realize I've got to shut this down. You end up with this debt hanging over you, either tax debt or some kind of bank debt. I didn't have any bank debt hanging over me, but I did have tax debt hanging over me. And it's like, I've got to stop this. I can't keep going like this. It's just going to get worse. So I had to basically pretty much shut it down. I shut it down to a skeleton operation and was able to basically close it down, breaking even with nothing in the bank. That's, you know, it's one of those kind of businesses where people ask you, how do you make a lot of money? How do you make $1 million in that business? You start with $2 million. That's how you lose a million and you got your million. So it was one of those kinds of businesses. And it was just a tough industry to make a living in. And learned an awful lot. I mean, if I would have gone to I went to 1 year of college, 1 year of Bible college. I didn't go to any business college or anything. I just kind of grew up. My dad owned a business when I was growing up. I kind of learned from that. Didn't learn as much as I should have. I really should have paid a lot more attention to what he did and what he learned. I didn't really, but it was kind of in my DNA. Every single one of my uncles on his side of the family owned businesses. They were kind of entrepreneurs, kind of multi-potentialites. And, all of them were kind of that way. My dad was kind of that way. My dad could work for a company and stay there quite a while if he had the right job. But he was the type too that was always kind of looking for something else, and finally kind of found his niche in real estate. He was a real estate salesman when he finally left. Up until the month he died at 82, he was still had his real estate company going. Small business, just him and a couple other guys, but it was. You know, he loved doing it. It was his thing. He was good at it. And he did that for probably 30 years, almost 30 years. He was involved in that and did really well at it. I'm kind of just about that age now where he would have been when, and I've kind of just kind of found my niche in life. It's called drinking chai tea. That's my job. So the whole thing that this whole going bankrupt thing was it was an interesting statement, and I think I've heard it before, but I hadn't heard it for a long time. And Knowles said it, and it kind of came back to me. And you know that's a point I think that we're at in our nation. We have a situation where we are gradually going bankrupt, and we just keep kicking the can down the road, and we keep maneuvering and printing money and monetizing and trying to make this work. Now, understand that when you print more money, if there's money, just a certain amount of money in the system, and the population doesn't grow, which right now the population in the country isn't really growing. And so if we're not populating, if we're not growing, then if we start putting more money into the system, that theoretically makes your dollar worth less. Now, it doesn't necessarily make it It doesn't have to make it worth less than it is, because if there's more value in our products, then if our product value goes up, then the value of that dollar can stay about the same in terms of your buying power, because you can buy better things because there's better things to offer that are being offered. However, that's not the case in the country right now, especially after we sold out to China in the 90s when, Clintons were the ones that started this. They're the ones that got the dot-com thing pushing. And that he also, at the same time, they opened up the China trade in ways that were very destructive to the country. Most people don't tie it back to that, but it's exactly where it came from. That's when it started. And probably somewhat under Bush too as well, but mostly under Clinton. And then for those 8 years, we had the CCP was basically staying in the White House they had an office there in the Lincoln bedroom. So there's all of that. And that's where our country is right now. I think we're at a point where, and all the spending, and of course, this whole pandemic thing, not allowing people to work, not allowing people to be productive, and then paying them the way they are right now is absolutely absurd. So here's the deal. There are about 100 million households in this country. About 4 or 5 million of those households derive their income from government work, not government paycheck necessarily, not a government, not on the dole, but, and there's even more that are on government welfare. But there are those who work for the government. I'm talking, you know, military, postal employees, all the different, you know, municipalities, that kind of thing, everything. All those companies, now other than like sewer and water, those people actually provide a service where they actually do something for their work. There's actually something productive happening there. However, they don't produce anything with regard to like widgets or any kind of products that are durable goods. I would say what we'll call durable goods or even consumable goods. Electricity is even more of a durable good, which is actually being, you know, you're actually producing something that can be used to do work, whereas water and sewer are kind of a common, the Commonwealth goods that are done. There's more there. However, there's also other things that are done by government, such as, you know, house inspectors, home inspectors, plumbing inspectors. They don't produce anything. I'm not saying they're not valuable in the community, but they're a burden to the society. Not a burden as in a bad thing necessarily. Don't have to be. Some of them are. But they're providing a service that costs us money with the taxpayer and or with a builder or whoever's, you know, paying the bills for the permits and stuff. And those people are kind of sapping from society. So they're not the ones producing anything with regard to that has value. And I don't mean their job isn't valuable. I'm just saying, you know, I hope you understand what I'm saying with that. So there's no intrinsic value in what they're doing. So much like this podcast, there's no intrinsic value. So there's all of that going on. But now, so you've got 100 million households out there, and the government has decided that they're going to finally pass the stimulus check, finally pass the stimulus bill. Oh, good. They're going to pass the stimulus bill. Oh, good. They're going to give us a bunch of money. Where do they get their money? They get their money from us. Now, not all the money going from the stimulus bill comes from out of my pocket in federal taxes. Okay, now you have to understand this. I pay, you know, the 17% or whatever it is by the time with my self-employment and all my other stuff. The taxes I pay and all the taxes that everybody pays in federal tax does not necessarily pay for funding the entire government. There are other taxes that government collects. In fact, there are ways you can get rid of the federal income tax and still fund the government. That blows a lot of people away, but that is the case because there are corporate taxes, there are gas taxes, there are fuel taxes, there's taxes on wine, there's taxes on books, there's taxes on all kinds of other things that we pay that's built into the price of that product that we don't see. Because it's not on our receipt, it's not on our invoice. It's the producer of those goods or the manufacturer or redistribution of those goods, things like firearms and gunpowder, those kinds of things, are all taxed on the federal level that we don't see. It's built into the price of that product. So in one way or another, if you buy anything that has any kind of tax levied on it, that money also goes to pay back this stimulus check. So not all of our federal taxes, income taxes, I should say, will pay for all this stuff. About 10 years ago, the amount of debt on every man, woman, and child in this country, 320 million people, was about $80,000. That debt level has gone up, and it continues to go up. And in fact, in the last 8 years, has gone up considerably. I don't know what the amount is now, but I know it's over $100,000. Now, that's not the amount of taxes you will pay in your lifetime. This is, I told that to a buddy of mine who's a leftist, left-wing wacko. He doesn't realize he is. He thinks he's a normal guy. Doesn't think he chooses sides on either side. He is a left-wing wacko. Really left. He's so far left, he doesn't even recognize the left. He says, when I told him this, he said, well, that seems about right. In my lifetime, I'll pay about 80. This was 8 years ago, 9 years ago. So I'll pay about $80,000, $84,000 in my life in taxes. Really? You think that's all you're going to pay in your lifetime? In your lifetime? From the time you're born to the time you die? If you paid $1,000 a year and you lived 80 years, and that's, you know, you don't even pay taxes until you're like 18, probably. So in 60, you think that's all the federal tax you're going to pay? Now, the problem with this is, that's not what I was talking about. That's on top of the federal taxes that you will pay. That's the debt as it is right now. That doesn't even include interest. That's the debt that's on your head that somehow government's going to have to get from you in some way. Whether it's through taxing a corporation that you buy products from that they pass on to you, or if it's by taxing you directly through a federal income tax or a VAT tax or whatever they're going to be doing to... Like they say, Democrats have not met a tax Democrats never met a tax they didn't like, I think is the term. And I was in Australia a while back and had a friend there, I guess he was talking about. He was a customer of mine. And he was going on and on about how great it is there because the servers at the restaurant don't have to pay. Or they don't get tips there. They don't have to tip them because they pay them so well. They were paying them $19 an hour, which I'm not sure what that was in Australian money, whatever they call their, I think they call them kangarooses, whatever they call them, kind of dollars they have down there. So in their money system, they were getting paid $19 an hour. You know how much a regular, like a cheeseburger with a Coke costs down there? About $19 for that. And as, you know, as you bring up wages, so good, I call it cheeseburger economics. You just, if you start paying somebody who makes the cheeseburger $15 an hour, well, guess what? That's going to get passed on to the price of the cheeseburger. Now the person who makes a cheeseburger is still going to pay the same amount of their time and effort to make that $15 to buy another cheeseburger. Now, for a few minutes, when they get that big raise, it's going to seem like they've got a lot of money until they realize the price of everything has just gone up because all those prices have to get passed on to the products that they buy. So the paper towels that they buy, all the things that they buy in the grocery store, things they buy at a restaurant, everything that they purchase is all going to go up in price because now the cost of living has gone up. Does that make sense? Are you following me? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So that has to be brought into the equation. And I don't think that most people get a basic understanding of economics in this regard. So getting back to the statement, how did you go bankrupt? Gradually and then suddenly. It all kind of starts to surround you. You don't really realize that you're kind of like a frog boiling in a pot of water, which I guess that's a myth. It doesn't really happen that way. You can't boil a frog in a pot of water by raising it 1 degree per minute. The frog will jump out. I don't know if it just jumps out because that's what it does. It's a frog. It jumps. I don't know. Or if it actually feels the heat and ends up getting out of the water. But regardless of that, that's the metaphor. So let's just keep using it, even if it's not right, even if it doesn't scientifically happen. You're that frog and you're sitting there in that water and the temperature keeps rising, but you don't realize it because you just kind of get acclimate to it and you get comfortable in it. And the next thing you know, you're boiling. And that's kind of the way that's what that whole thing is talking about. So they're going to, the whole process of this whole thing. So you got 100 million people, 100 million households, and they are going to, when this whole thing, they say it's $900 billion. That's a fallacy because by the time it's implemented and everybody gets their money, when they have these bills that are like $800 billion or $700 billion, it always ends up being almost, you can take that times 50% and add that to it. So if it's a $900 billion stimulus package, I guarantee you it's going to end up being about, I think my calculations were about $1.4 trillion is what it's going to, when they get it all done, when they get everything cashed out, it's going to be over $1 trillion. Let's just round it down to a trillion just to give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it can happen for $1 trillion, this whole thing. Now they're going to pay, and there's some confusion on this. Maybe some of you know better. You can write in the comments down below if you figure this out. I'm not sure if it's every household now gets $600. I think it's going to be the same way it was before, where you get that $600 check. You and your spouse will get a $600 check if you qualify under certain terms of your income level. So you could get $1,200 per household. Now they're also going to increase. They're going to bring back the unemployment thing of like, instead of being $600 more than your regular unemployment check, it's going to be $300 more than your unemployment check. I don't get an unemployment check because I'm on a voluntary furlough. Now, if I would have been furloughed involuntarily, I'd be getting unemployment right now. And of course, then if they bring back this extra deal, I'd be getting that much more money. Now, I won't get into all that, but there's even some ways that some businesses cheated on that to pay less for their unemployment. However, if you figure it this way, the government, now for each household, for that $1 trillion with 100 million households, you could pay every household in this country $10,000. You could hand them a check for $10,000 that would take all of that $1 trillion. They're giving you a check for $1,200. Where is the rest of that money going? Where is it going? I mean, maybe it's going to some good places, but why don't you let us know, Mitch? You're for it. You're pushing it. Let us know, Nancy, Chuck, all you guys. It's, in my opinion, I think that there's a whole lot of palms getting greased and pockets being lined, businesses getting some under the table, you know, kickbacks, favors with that. They just love to throw, you know, trillions of dollars around now. It used to be billions, now it's trillions. And in the midst of doing all that, they're handing us, and when Nancy Pelosi talked about crumbs when we got our tax cuts, oh, you're just giving them crumbs. Well, crumbs is better than nothing. Even if it is crumbs, she wasn't going to vote for it because it was just crumbs. How ridiculous is that? So it's a start. It's something. It's kind of like the deal what she did with the whole stimulus package to begin with, because she was holding that up. I didn't care that she held it up personally. I'm not really a big guy in favor of the stimulus thing, other than the fact that the government was the one forcing people to shut things down, so therefore the government needs to pay for people's livelihood. However, there are some people who are working overtime through this whole thing, working more than ever, making more money than ever, and they're going to get a stimulus check. That's ridiculous. You know, figure out who's hurting and give them the money if you're going to do it that way. It's just a ridiculous setup. But if you just don't shut the place down, there are some industries I guess you have to. I mean, travel is one thing I think that was really hurt by this, regardless of whether, you know, there was just no way you were going to have people, even if you didn't shut the economy down, people just stopped traveling. And I think that, you know, especially the airline industry, they were hurting. Hotels were hurting. Everything that's associated with the travel industry was really hurting. However, RVs, recreational vehicles, you would think would be having the worst time of their life. Recreational vehicles, who needs a recreational vehicle? Well, apparently everybody, because that's the only way you can get around or go somewhere and actually be contained within your own environment. Can't go to a hotel because they're all closed, or you don't want to be in a hotel. So people are buying travel trailers, going on their vacation that way. Who'd have thought about it? That, I mean, I would never have thought that, but yes, they are busier than ever. Well, what that's going to do in the market in a year or two is who knows, with all the used travel trailers out there. But it's an interesting, of course, now all those guys have jobs. They've got plenty of jobs. They've got plenty of work. And they're, you know, so there's parts of the economy that have soaked it all up and taken up the slack. And there's others that are really hurting. small business owners are the big one, because a lot of the products and services that are being offered are now being taken care of through Amazon, through big companies, and they are taking over. And I think there's a deal under the table there too as well. That's a conspiracy theory on my part. It's all speculation, but I think there's things going on behind the scenes as well. And big tech is booming, and they're more powerful now than ever because, of course, there's all the content online. There's everything that's going on online. Our whole world is online right now because we have to stay in our homes. No, we don't have to. I'm in Indiana. We're not closed down. There's some counties that are kind of on high alert, that kind of thing. But we've done pretty well through this whole thing in terms of staying open. However, most states are not that way. So now we have this bill out there. I didn't realize the math on this until I heard somebody say, there was a guy that had come out, he was doing a newscast in front of his business. It was a live broadcast, and he came out and started chewing out this broadcaster, saying, "What are you doing out here?" You know, he basically was, he wasn't mad at the broadcaster, but he was mad at the government, mad at what was going on. Things were shut down. He went out to talk to this newscaster and basically let him have it. And he said, and this was back during the $2 trillion stimulus. And he said, "That's enough to give every household in this country $20,000. And it is. That's the math on it. And because I did the math, I'm like, is he right? Or, you know, some people get out there and they'll say, well, you gave $2 trillion. That's enough to give every, even some newscasters got snuckered by that because they came out and said that they could give everybody $1 million, everybody in the country $1 million for that amount of money. And that wasn't the case. It was like, no, you can give them all like $15 or something. It was a ridiculous difference in what they said, what they could do with that much money. But it really does work out. 100 million households could get $10,000 apiece for $1 trillion. Now, the sad part about this is every household is going to have to come up with that $10,000 in one way or another to pay this $1 trillion back. Because government doesn't make money. They just take money. They can only take it from us. So they're giving us our money. They're taking our money and they're giving us a little bit now so that they can take it from us later to pay all that back. And they're going to blame whoever, you know, left to blame the right to blame left. Even though they all voted for it. So there you have it. Here we go. Had another 30-minute show that was supposed to be 10 minutes. How does this happen? How do I start? You just pull my string, I start talking, and I don't stop. I don't shut up. I just keep going. So let me know what you think. I really appreciate every single one of you who listened to this thing, and I know that there are some who are listening to it because I can see, you know, like the time that people watch and how much they watch and how many episodes are being watched. I'm dumbfounded by that. So anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'll tell you what, here's the deal. This is something to keep in mind. I always like to end the show on a positive note. So this much I do know. Whether you agree with me or not on this, doesn't matter. But I know that God is on the throne and prayer changes things. And we just need to keep that in mind and keep that going. Keep going forward. Don't look back. Stay positive. We're not going to be abandoned by God just because some wacko's in the White House. The left thought that a wacko was in the White House for the last 4 years, and we're still here. They just went nuts. They had Trump derangement syndrome. So let's not get Biden derangement syndrome. BDS. So let's just not get that. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I might put another show out later tonight, but probably going to be tomorrow morning. So, make sure you tune in when you see that. Well, you have to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. If you don't subscribe, you won't see the show. So make sure you subscribe so that the next show you'll get it and you'll understand what the news is according to me, because that's what's important. So thank you again. Good night. Good luck. God bless you. I don't believe in luck, really, so I'm not sure where that came from. But yeah.